chapter 127, Psalms chapter 127. I've tongue-in-cheek referred to this series that I'm preaching on Sunday nights as One Confused Parent to Another. And I think we're all here to help each other and share ideas with each other. It's not judging each other. It's really us helping each other by saying, here's what I did when I dealt with this. And some of you, when Ms. Mix and I talk about it, you look at me like, well, I never dealt with that. Well, hang on. You'll get your day in court, as they say. You'll get your time. Psalm 127 is in the middle of the Bible and just to the east of Dead Center. I'd like you to look at that. We're going to start in verse number 1. I'll read the odds, you'll read the evens. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, as we come before you and we study your word, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would write it upon our hearts. We know that you're the author of all truth, and God, we know that we need your wisdom to live, to breathe, to have our being, to move, to accomplish what you would have us accomplish, to become the Christian you would have us become for your glory. And Father, tonight we're asking for another cup full of blessing, another blessing poured upon us that we might grow to be like Christ. And Father, as this recording goes out as well as live here, we ask God that you would just speak to every heart and every soul. Help us, God, we're needy people. Help us to raise our children in such a way that you're glorified. And we can return them back to you as faithful servants. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way. I always encourage people, share everything. If you're on social media, and not everybody is, and that's okay. But if you are, share. Share everything that we're doing. Share tonight's message with family if it's a blessing to you. But if you look at these Psalms, chapter 127, and 128, I refer to these as the building of a family, and Psalm 128 as the blessing of a family. We're going to look at the building of the family right now. It says, except. Now, that ought to jump off the page for you just a second. That means, in contrast to what everybody else does, except the Lord build the house. Now, back, many of you are too young to know who Dr. Spock was, but you know who Mr. Spock was off Star Trek. But Dr. Spock was a yahoo who wrote a book on child rearing that said that we're twisting our kids by disciplining them and turning them into abusive serial killers. And that's what we're doing as Christians. And that's what he wrote. And for some reason, the knuckleheads in the 60s were too high to realize that this was hogwash. So they raised their children, and that's why we have the mess we have today. And you can quote me on that. I don't think Mr. Spock's alive today. So he's all straightened out now, one way or the other. But and I know that sounds hateful, but you really only get this life to get it right, and that's it. So any knucklehead that comes along and overturns 6,500 years of God's truth and goes, nope, you're wrong, doesn't know what they're talking about. Now, I have met, and it's because Christians who have taken God's word and used it as an abusive beat stick to beat people with has created a culture where people don't trust the word of God anymore. So that's where we have to live it so they can see it, and then they'll want to listen again. So except the Lord built the house, they labor in vain that build it. It's vain. It's empty. It'll account to nothing. I got to tell you, one of the greatest blessings to me was the fact that God saved my soul before we had children. God saved my soul. I wish God would have said, I wish I'd have been listening. It's not God's fault. It's my fault. I wasn't listening when I was a teenager. I would have loved to have gotten saved as a teenager and avoided a lot of the mess I made of my life through my teen years and my college years. But I'm thankful that the Lord got a hold of me, and I not just saved my soul, but boy, he grabbed me by the scruff of the neck when I was in my young 20s and before we had Josh. And it was just I count it a blessing. Because, you know, the truth is we try to take advice from other areas, and we try to be respectful of our parents. And I try to tell people, your parents did what they could, the best they could, so build on it. Just build on it. It's not an offense for you to do things differently. You just took what you got, and now you're going to build on it. And that's what I told my mama. She's like, oh, so I didn't raise you right. No. No, Mama, I love you. You did the best you could. I was a tough kid. I really was. I was an obnoxious child. Trust me, if I ever go back to a high school reunion, I'm going to apologize to every teacher I ever had, okay? I'm just going to do that, all right? But I was a tough kid, and my mother was older. She was our age. She was 49 when she had me. So imagine being in your 50s and having a toddler running around crazy. That was before ADHD was diagnosed. So do you understand? You know, she did the best she could with me. So I'm just taking what God gave me and building on it, and that's what we ought to be striving for, is to take where we are and build from there. Can't fix the mistakes. Now, Brother Dave, you're a grandpa. You don't have any kids at the house, but you still are a powerhouse of influence on family. And you always will be, mothers and dads, as we become grandpas and grandmas. We're still going to be a powerhouse of influence just by the way we live. So when it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. It's not going to amount to anything eternally. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. We are to build our life upon the Lord and His truth. Our family is to be built on the Lord and His truth. And I like this verse number 2. You know, the Christian faith that made your Christian home a Christian home is the same faith that will keep it a Christian home. What got you here will keep you here. And that's the truth. You walked with God, and God is blessing you, and God has led you here. That same walk with God is going to keep you walking with Him. Look at verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early and sit up late. I know what that's like. You can't build your home on worry, nor can you build it on overtime. You know, there was a prevailing thinking about 20, 30 years ago, back when America was a manufacturing country. I was raised in a culture where it was like, just go get a job at a factory and you'll make X number, but with overtime, you'll be able to afford the finer things of life. You're not to build your life on worry, nor are you to build your life counting on overtime, because your family spells love, T-I-M-E. That's how they spell it. And the truth is, you'll blink and those kids will be gone. You will blink. Brother Dave, how long? I mean, is it just like a blink and they're adults? Is that true? Amen. All your kids are grown and now you got grandbabies and oh, it's a blink and they're gone. I remember holding Josh in my arms. I remember holding Sam when he was just a little bitty guy. I remember carrying Levi around on my shoulders, and I remember Ben. Little and blink. Now they're wearing my shoes and socks and stealing my t-shirts and wearing my jackets. And I got to figure out whose jacket's whose. Well, I don't know. They're all about the same size anymore. It's vain to rise up early and sit up late, to live on worry and overtime, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. You know, if we live according to God's principles, there really is peace. Because as I mentioned this morning, you know, when you sin, the consequences are inevitable, unavoidable, and left up to God to choose what He does to you. Well, the same way with living His principles. When you live God's principles, the blessings that come through are unavoidable. God said He'll come through. God will not be a debtor to you. He meaning that if you do what He says, God's going to follow through. He has bound Himself. The eternal, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God has bound Himself to His word. And if you live His principles, the blessings, the promises come. So you can now rest in peace and go, all right, I did what was right. I did the right. I may have messed up yesterday, but I'm doing the next right thing today. And I can count on God to come through with the peace and the blessings that He said He would. I can just stop worrying about it. I don't know how He's going to do it, but I know it's coming. Now look here in verse number 3. Now we see that it was built on faith. Verse 2, that it's run on faith. Now look at verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. That means children aren't pets. Children aren't toys. Children aren't playthings. Children are not an accessory. that you just kind of pimp your, we call it pimping on my ride or tricking out my ride. God didn't trick out your life with kids as an accessory. I want you to understand the extreme privilege, honor, and responsibility it is to shepherd an eternal soul. A child is an eternal soul that will one day leave your home. That's why I tell when I'm preaching on marriage, you can't build your marriage on your kids because those kids will not be here. One of the things my kids would always ask me is, why do you always just hang out with mom? Because in a few short years, you're all going to leave me, and that's all I'm going to have left. So I better have a relationship with her because we're going to spend the next 30, 40 years by ourselves. And so just relax. You know, my wife said to me, she said one day, she said, I like having a clean house, and she does her best. But we're a mess, and we mess it up on her, and she cleans it up, and we mess it up. But she says, John, one day we'll have a clean house. Of course, we won't have any kids at the house. And she said, and you'll miss it. And she's right. And it says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward, meaning they're to be a source of joy, hope, and future blessing. Now, they're our heritage. They were never meant to run the home. And one of the dangerous things we're seeing in America today is that the homes are run by their children. And you can't let that happen. You've got to be the one in charge, okay? Now look at verse 4. I love this analogy. We had a lot of hunters in Arkansas and in Illinois. And I love this. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of his youth. That phrase, the children of his youth, that means start early. Start early when you have energy. Start early while you still... Yeah. I know it's scary. We were scared to death. We had little Josh in the hospital, and I went and cleaned out the truck, made it pretty as best I could, and we brought him home. We brought him home, and then after everybody left, it's just her, me, and the kid. And we're like, what do we do? I don't know. So we took off his clothes and just looked at him, counted all his toes, counted his fingers. I mean, they're a source of blessing, but it's scary, right? It's scary. We were young and dumb and didn't know anything, but they're happy is the man that hath his quiver full. They're arrows. Now, arrows have to be made right. They got to be made straight. To be made straight, you've got to know what true is. Something that we called it true. If it shoots true or if it lays true, that means it's straight. Our kids need to know what is right and what is wrong. They need to know what is true, even if it's inconvenient. They need to know these things. Arrows don't fly right unless they're straight. Then it says here, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, arrows have to be aimed. You have to help your kids aim at something. My preacher was out in Pampa, Texas as a child, and his daddy would, every now and again for fun, would pull out a shotgun and shoot at the vultures, right? And these are monster-sized birds out there in Pampa, Texas. So he says, here, Bob, you want to shoot? So Bob just puts a gun up in the air, closes his eyes, and pulls the trigger. Of course, he don't hit nothing. And he goes, give me that. And he pulls up, and he lines up on one and shoots one of those buzzards. And he said, Bob, even with a shotgun, you got to aim. And it's the truth. With an arrow, to shoot true, you got to aim at something. Help your kids pick godly targets in life. I talk to them. I've been talking about them marrying godly girls since they were little. I've been talking to them about getting furthering their education. I've talked to them about finding a way to serve God and love people and keep them out of hell. And God will do the rest. And you just, you know, help your kids aim. But the third thing that has to happen for kids to leave our home and fly right is practice releasing them. With bow and arrow, you got to practice lining up the shot and practice letting go, because you got to let go smooth. And you can't just grab a bow and arrow for the first time and aim it and it's going to fly. It's because you are part of the equation when it comes to shooting an arrow. It's the same thing with a child. You have to practice letting them go. And with each step of responsibility you teach them and train them with, you're practice letting them go. You know, you don't just wait. You don't expect the same thing out of a 4-year-old that you do a 10-year-old. Why? Because you've been training that 10-year-old all this way along to pick up their toys and to clean up their mess. But you train them right along with them. And with every step of the way, you're practice releasing them. You know, some things that come to mind. The first time they have a friend to spend the night, that's a practice release. The first time they spend the night at somebody else's house, that's a practice release. When you teach them to use, like boys, we teach them to use a knife and safety. These are practice release. Teach them to use tools. We practice release. The fact that when we've, you just buy them a car and hand them the keys and go, bye. You go out there and you ride with them and you practice with them, because one of these days they're going to walk out your door and they're not going to come back except as a guest. One of these days they're going to leave and it's not going to be home anymore because they're going to live somewhere else. But till you get there, it's like an arrow. You're pointing them, you're showing them what's true, and you're going to practice letting them go. That's the picture God is giving you. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Large families are kind of a novelty anymore. We don't see them like we used to when I was young. But children are a blessing. They're not a curse. Children are a blessing. They're not a nuisance. Children are a blessing. But God says they're to be also a priority. He says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Some people think the Bible's outdated, but it's not. The building of a family is for future blessing that just keeps giving back to us if we'll do it God's way. So that's when it says, except the Lord build the house, verse 1. It's all vain. It's all vain. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Now, with that picture of releasing an arrow to fly true and practicing releasing, I want you to take a minute and park on Proverbs 22 verse 6 for just a minute. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. That's aiming. Training, and when he is old, he'll not depart. Training, train up a child. Brother James, you were in the military. Were you in the military, Brother David? You're in the military. Do you still remember stuff you learned in basic training? They trained you. They didn't just show you, did they? It's the same way with kids. I have a terrible tendency just to tell my kids what to do. But our kids will never turn out to be what we tell them. They become what we are. I know some folks don't want to bring kids into the world because they don't want the responsibility of raising them. I get that. But the thing that struck me was Ms. Mix was buying all these books on child rearing and child training. And what I found when I read them was it was really adult training. It was training the adult to be the effective trainer of a child. They are not going to become what I tell them to be. They're going to become what I am. And the sad part is their natural tendency is going to be to mimic my negative qualities, because the positive qualities I had to be developed by me through pain and embarrassment and problems and learning from the hard knocks. So when it says in Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. On Vision Night, we talked about we're raising up successive generations of self-growing, serving Christian adults. As parents, we're not looking to raise godly kids. We're looking to raise godly adults. That's it. God has loaned these souls to us, and we are the steward of them. They really belong to God. My children belong to God, and they've been loaned to me. And He expects me to train them and give them back to Him as adults that will do His bidding and do His service. And so when it says train up a child, that means we're to teach them by example and repetition and through scenarios that we ourselves also live. We live in those scenarios. So that means if I'm making my kids pick up their shoes, I pick up my shoes. If I want my kids to put their stuff in the sink, well, then I put my stuff in the sink. And I am trying to live it in front of them. See, that's what it meant in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, nurture and to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, they're never going to be what I tell them. They're only going to become what I am. My daddy used to say, tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you what you are. And there, you understand, your children's closest neighbor is you. So they should be running with you. They should be living with you. Take your Bible, go to Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6. It's an interesting book, the book of Deuteronomy. I'm outlining it right now and I'm enjoying it. It's kind of like a recap. Moses is recapping the Pentateuch before he dies. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6, it says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now see, there's a colon there. That means the thought hasn't stopped. This day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. You're to teach your kids what the book says, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. My youngest one, I call him my littlest one, but they're all about the same size now. My youngest one always says, Dad, why does everything have to be a teaching moment? Because everything is a teaching moment. And you can either learn it this way or you can learn it the hard way. And quite honestly, my daddy died when I was, 22 years ago. I was 31. I wish Dad was still here. You know, my dad, when I was a teenager, I thought he was an idiot, the village idiot. I really did. Thought he was completely out of touch, didn't understand that it was me that was out of touch. And then when I got saved and when I was 23 and started walking with the Lord, I realized what a genius my dad was. It's like he had a brain transplant, and man, what a genius my dad is. And then he died. He died just about 8 years later, and I just like, man, to this day, I wish Dad was still around. Because you got to understand, they become what we are. They got to see it. As we set up training scenarios, and you think to yourself, well, that's kind of foolish. No, everything is a training scenario, whether you set it up that way or not. And a lot of times when we live with poor character or we don't live like we should, and I'm not talking about drugging and drinking and whoring around. I'm talking about I don't live with diligence. I don't finish jobs I start. I don't, you know, I do things halfway rather than with everything and, you know, with all my might, like the Bible says. I don't pour myself into spending time with them, or I don't walk with God consistently. All of these things our kids see and they hear, and they, the little ears. There's this song, be careful little eyes what you see, and be careful little ears what you hear. And I'm really want to flip that around for us parents and go, be careful what those little eyes see in you. Be sure you're living it in front of them. That's what Deuteronomy 6 is saying. Every moment is a teaching moment, whether you make it one or not. They're learning from my good stuff and my bad stuff. And if I don't get myself under control, how am I ever going to expect them to get themselves under control? So there's some things that I want to share with you today. Everybody in here, I think, is saved. I've looked at, you know, old enough to know better. I'm talking to people that are born again. But have your children heard how you got saved? Have they heard the story? Have you heard the story? Mrs. Mix, bless her heart, she bought me my first King James Bible, and I wrote my testimony in the front of it. I was doing a lot of work and traveling and had some near misses, some really bad things that could have happened, but it just, you know, you just near miss. So one day I just sat down and wrote my testimony in the front of my Bible, how I got saved, what was the circumstances, where I was, what led up to it. Have your kids ever heard you tell them? You know, I used to tell the story from the pulpit, and I would say, it was 706 North Fulton Street, Lakin, Illinois, apartment B in the south bedroom. And my kids could repeat that after I'd said it about 8 or 9 times. Just, you know, I'd be preaching, and I'd say that I'd get excited and talk about it. And they could have your kids heard your story? You know, when I got saved, I went home, and I talked to my parents, and I said, I said, I started with my dad. I said, Dad, do you know the Lord is your Savior? Well, of course I do. Well, when did you get saved, Dad? Well, he sat at the ring. Well, I was 14, and I rode my horse to town, and there was this big tent on the side of outside of town, and I hitched it up. His name was Collie, the horse. And I hitched Collie up, and I walked into this tent and sat out, and there was a guy still on the platform preaching, and at the end of the service, I just walked forward, received Christ. Well, why didn't you ever tell me? Well, I don't know. You never told me, and I would never ask. So I went to my mother and I said, Mom, if you die today, you sure you'd go to heaven? Well, sure I am. So you're born again? Well, of course I am. Well, when did you get saved? Well, I was 11. Well, what happened? Well, it was Vacation Bible School in that little brick church that was just down the road from your granddaddy's farm. And I was in the basement and I knelt down on the concrete floor and gave my heart to Jesus. Well, why didn't you ever tell me? Well, why didn't you ever ask? My brother Bill was dying of cancer 3 years ago, and I flew to Illinois, and I told him Mom's story, and I told him Dad's story, and I told him my story. I said, so what's your story? Oh, well, it's similar. Well, tell me. Well, I was 11, and Betty Ann was, or no, I was 9, and Betty Ann was 12, and Mom put us in the back of the old Hudson and drove us to a tent on the edge of town, and there was a preacher out there preaching, and at the end of the service, Betty Ann and I walked hand in hand down the aisle and received Christ. Well, why didn't you ever tell me? Well, why didn't you ever ask? Do your kids know you're saved? Do they know how you got saved? Can they stand up at your funeral and say, Mama's in heaven? Because it was on this day when Mama gave her heart to Jesus Christ. You know, give thanks. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works, 1 Chronicles 16 says. Have your children heard you pray and call their name out to God? I mean, you should be praying for your kids privately, yes, but and regularly. But remember, they're only going to become what we are. And if I have a failing in my life, and I do, it's a prayer failing. Your kids need to hear you pray. They need to hear you pray. In 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 18, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imaginations of the thoughts of the hearts of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee, and give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes. This is David praying for his adult son. We need to be praying for our kids, and they need to know they can come to us, and we'll pray over whatever's bothering them. We need to ask our kids, is there anything you need me to pray about? Anything I can pray for you about? Have your children heard you read the Bible to them? You know, do you read your Bible? Do you read it? Have they heard you read it out loud? That's where it says, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hands, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Paul said to Timothy, in that of a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, that which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. You know, our kids consume a lot of information, and you'll be surprised how much they consume just sitting in church. Have your children seen you give God his tithe and his offerings? Have they seen you be faithful to give? And are you faithful to show them the blessings that God gives you because of it? You know, I remind my boys, I got three sons that are working, and I remind them, you need to tithe. And one of my sons said the other day, or he'll get it. He'll get it one way or the other. I'm like, you're right. You might as well get blessed for it. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 16, 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. That's talking about tithing, because tithing is a percentage. Tithing is not a numerical number. It's a percentage. Have your children see you go to the, have they ever seen you go to the altar and confess your sins to God? Maybe I should ask, does God speak to you during the service? You can't teach what you don't do. Remember that, brothers and sisters. You cannot teach what you don't do. They'll never become what we say. They'll only become what we are. Do you ever use the altar? Does God speak to you? Does God talk to you? When Josh was little, I was on staff at Hillcrest in El Paso, and they had wooden benches up front that people would come and pray on. And after the service, he would walk up and put his fingers in the tears. He'd known people, adults were up there praying and begging God for things, and he was watching people get saved all the time. He saw it as a child. Have your kids ever seen you hand out a tract and invite people to church? You know, when they were little, they'd take tracts from my pocket and run up to people in the grocery store. Because listen, nobody's going to yell at a little kid. New tracts now. We got new tracts that's got the gospel in it. You know, these are great ways to invite people to church. Great ways to just, here, we just want to leave this with you. We went to a restaurant today for lunch, and I left one on the table with the tip. Listen, have your children seen you hand out a tract? You know, there's no magical age when they grow up and poof, I'm a soul winner now. No, they grow up with it. They grow up with it. Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. Have your children heard you tell someone how you got saved? Have they heard you share your faith with somebody? Knowing that you're not ashamed to be publicly identified as a Christian. To sit down and say, well, let me tell you about how I got saved. And tell your story as a means to witness to someone else. In Mark 8, it says, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in his glory of his Father with his holy angels. They will not become what we tell them to. They'll become what we are. So my question to you is, do you realize you can't teach what you don't do? You have to share your faith. Take your kids. Target people in prayer with your kids and say, let's pray for the neighbor. And now let's go over and invite them to come to church. Come with me. Daddy's going to talk to their daddy. You come on over and we'll invite them to church. And let your kids watch you do it. It's not that scary. Just talk to them. Have your children heard you tell someone how much your church means to you? Have your children heard how much the church means to you? And take your Bible, go to Psalm 84. Psalm 84 and verse 1. Psalm 84 and verse 1. Psalm 84 and verse 1, the Bible reads, how amiable. The word amiable means how friendly, how comfortable, it's just a positive thing, a positive experience. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. You know, it was crazy. When we weren't able to come to church, we just missed it. We missed it. And then I'm here preaching, I missed my peoples. I missed my friends. I missed being close to my friends and seeing them every weekend. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Meaning, just as a bird feels comfortable in its nest, I feel at home, safe and secure when I'm in the house of God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee, Selah. How do your kids see church and church life? Is it a sacred place or is it just optional? Remember, they'll not become what you tell them. They'll become what you are. And you can't teach what you don't do. And the Bible says we're to be doing this so much more as we see the day of Christ. Can you see the day of Christ approaching? I mean, just 50 years ago, people were asking themselves, well, how's the Antichrist going to be able to do this? How's the Antichrist going to do stuff and people see it all over the world? How's the Antichrist going to know whether you buy or sell? How's the Antichrist going to know? I remember when the first credit cards came out. That's how old I am. Do you remember the first credit cards? Nobody had plastic. Everybody carried cash or check. And you weren't going to buy or sell. Well, guess what? Now you don't even have that. Now you should use your phone. I watched one lady walk up and just touch your phone, boom, and it worked. I'm ordering food. I'm ordering crazy stuff through my phone all the time. I got a smoothie the other day through the phone. It's crazy. You know? Hey, you're not going to be able to buy or sell. Hey, we see the day of Christ coming, And the Antichrist isn't going to have any struggles ruling this world as one nation and contact tracing everyone. If we've learned anything through COVID, we know how to, people know how to know who you've been with. Have your kids understood what's coming? Not to be afraid that the Lord's going to come back. Have your kids heard you tell your spouse how much you love each other? Your husbands are to love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. So ought men to love their wives, even as their own body. I mean, what kind of spouse do you want your kid to be? What kind of spouse do you want your kids to have? Is it common for your kids to see you two holding hands and saying, I love you, and hugging? And I'm not talking about gross stuff. I'm just talking about showing affection. Well, I'm not that kind of guy. Well, you better get to be that kind of guy or your marriage won't last. Do they see you acting with tenderness toward each other? The Bible says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Now, listen to these. Gentleness. Do they see us acting gentle toward one another? Or we yell and scream and holler and fuss and fight and throw things? But the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, being good, benevolent to each other. Have your children heard you express your gratitude to God for His blessings in your life? Have they heard you give God praise? In Psalm 9, it says, I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High. You know, this is a discontented world. And it's easy to find something to complain about. But pointing out problems without offering solutions is just complaining. It's what I tell my kids. But have they ever heard you praise the Lord and say, God's so good to us. Look what God did. Look what God did. Look how God, we prayed for that. Do you remember? We prayed for that. And look what God did. And they go, yeah, I see it. Have they ever heard you give testimony in church? Psalm 35 and verse 18, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. You know, they have to learn gratitude from us. Gratitude is not a natural thing. We have to teach our kids to be grateful. Sometimes they learn to be grateful when they go away. I remember when Ms. Mix and I went off to college in August, and we got to come back in October for Thanksgiving, and man, we were like, putting our feet under Mom's table was awesome, and we felt, you know, we were eating the generic stuff at college. We got home, Mom had Oscar Mayer. We're like, yeah, you know, we were eating that government cheese. We got home, Mom had Velveeta, and I'm just like, wow, man, I really had it good growing up. Yeah, you did, And sometimes we need to teach our kids gratitude. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, Psalm 34:1 says. We have to teach them to be grateful. And listen, otherwise the school of hard knocks will do it. Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. See, it didn't come natural. For I learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I've had to learn it. The time we have with our children is short, and it's irretrievable, and it's gone before you know it. And our children need to see our love for God. They need to see our love for each other as parents. They need to see our love for them, and they need to see our love for God's service. One of the best things you can do is just ask God to help you and to remind you so that you're thinking about it, and He'll bring it up. So have your children heard you tell how you got saved? Have your children heard you pray and call their name out to God? Have your children heard you read the Bible? Have your children seen you give His tithes and offerings? Have your children seen you go to the altar and confess your sins to God? Have your children seen you give out a gospel tract and try to get someone to Christ? Have your children heard you tell someone how to be saved? Have your children heard you tell someone how much your church means to you? Have your children heard you tell each other how much you love each other? Have your children heard you express gratitude to God for His blessings? They will not become what we tell them. They'll become what we are. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You cannot teach what you do not do. And they cannot grasp it if they don't see it. So the change has to be in us first. Our Father and our great God, I love you and I'm thankful for your book of Psalms. I'm thankful, God, for David's being used of you to pen your word and challenge us even today, some 3,000 years later. The truth is, God, children are a blessing. They are our heritage. They do belong to you, and they're just on loan. Father, give us the wisdom to train each child individually, to train each child according to the way you've created them, that they may be usable vessels for thee, servants of thee the rest of their life. You know, Father, we've had to learn some things the hard way, and I'm sure they'll have to learn some things the hard way too, but Father, help us to mitigate those things by living the truth in front of them and being consistent in our witness, consistent in our walk, consistent in the way of following you. Now, Father, speak to each heart and soul tonight. Speak to us. Help us to see the areas of our life that need to be brought back into line and truth. Help us, God, to be mindful that everything is a teaching moment. And Father, tonight, as we pray, I ask God, you'd reveal to each of us the will and the goal you have for us as families. And may you be glorified. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As she plays and sings, the altar is open. Maybe it's a good time we spend a little time with the Lord tonight. Yesterday is in the womb of, or in the grave of time. Tomorrow is in the womb of time. All we have is the present. I can't help what happened yesterday, but I can dead sure do something about today. Won't you commit today that you'll walk with God, that you'll be the best example you can be? None of us are perfect. None of us will be perfect. But by God's grace, let us pray that God will use us to be the best example possible. Our Father and our God, we love you, and we are thankful for the opportunity to be in your house once again today. I'm thankful, Father, that your word is true, and as we read it and apply it to our lives, we know, Father, that truth puts down roots and bears fruit upward. And God, as we internalize it, We ask that you would glorify yourself and that our lives would be a testimony to others. Bless us now as we have a time of fellowship, as we wait for the other classes to end. We pray, Father, tonight, bless our fellowship. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, May. Look this